Here with me I have Gaius Worthington. He is one of the co-founders of Fluidigm, and we're going to be introducing the company to a relatively new audience, the agribusiness world. And I think we'll find through the course of the interview and others that we'll do that you've got a product and an application that really is going to be very useful in this industry that we know as agriculture. So let's first of all learn a little bit about you and the company. I understand you're one of the original founders. What is it that motivated you to start Fluidigm?
That's a good question. There's a long version that I'll spare you. I'll give you the short version. For reasons that I really can't explain, and the truth is I don't fully understand myself, I just became obsessed with the idea of building a company. When I was 19 years old, I was walking down the street here in Palo Alto. I grew up in Alaska, in a little village up there, came to California to get educated, had no intention of staying here or certainly doing company building, but I was walking down the street, and one minute, literally an instant, I was hit with a bolt of lightning, and from that moment on, my future was defined. I knew from that moment on that what I was supposed to do was try to build a company that could contribute in a variety of different ways to a variety of different industries. So from that point on, I set about figuring out how to do this and get trained by people who knew how to do it. And a very good friend of mine that I went to college with, Steve Quake, who's a brilliant scientist, he and his group at Caltech came up with a fundamental innovation and breakthrough in material science, which led to the creation of Fluidigm. Mm-hmm. So that's the short version.
Well, Fluidigm, the company, I know we're going to be talking to people who aren't very familiar with mm-hmm. this. So tell us what Fluidigm does. I mean, you've got essentially a core technology that
sure.
drives your business, and which I find fascinating. And if you can, give us an idea of what that technology is. And you mentioned industries, plural. I mean, where have you started using this first, and then where has it grown?
And I'll try to connect that to the agribusiness world as well as I explain. So the way to think about what we do is to use an analogy. So, and the analogy that we commonly use is electronics. So when the microchip was invented, fundamentally what it did is it took a giant computer that was made out of vacuum tubes and cables, made all those components very small, and put them onto a chip. And in so doing, made electronics much more high performance, much more affordable. It's that kind of innovation that is how a tractor that plows a field today is guided by GPS. Well, the chips that run the GPS are because of that innovation. So we do a similar thing for biology. If you look and see how biology is done today at very high throughput, you would see machines that look an awful lot like those old vacuum tube computers. They're not computers, they're biological entities. Instead of having test tubes, instead of having vacuum tubes, they have arrays of test tubes and hoses instead of cables. And we take all that fluidic stuff, those hoses and test tubes and everything that does, you take to the biology, make it extremely small, and put it onto a chip. So as a point of reference, the chip here I'm holding in my hand, this is what we call a chip. This chip has about as much plumbing as a 1,000-room hotel room. If you think about plumbing as pieces of pipe in between flanges or welded joints and valves that would be in the bathrooms or in the kitchens, and then reservoirs that would hold water, there's about as much plumbing on this chip as in a 1,000-room hotel room. So we just really disruptively take plumbing and make it very small, and in so doing you can do extremely high throughput biology very affordably and very easily. So what does that do for agribusiness? There have been major breakthroughs in genetics. The commonly known things about how people use genetics are things like the O.J. Simpson trial and things of that nature. But what you can do with genetics is you can understand, for example, when a cow is born, what's its genetic potential? Is it likely to be can you take care of it? Can you feed it in a way such that it's going to become the highest quality beef? Same thing for a dairy cow. when you grow a seed, can you ensure that it has the properties that you want to sell it for, that it would grow a really beautiful tomato, and that you could grow it in the Central Valley of California, or you could grow it, you know, in the plains of Kansas, or you know, and the like. So you can test those things now with genetic information, and so people who are producing these products can ensure that they have the highest quality before they actually had a chance to demonstrate that. You know, how do you know a calf is going to grow up to be, you know, a real high quality animal? How do you know the seed is going to blossom into something that's really high value? Well, genetics can tell you an awful lot about that. To date, it just hasn't been affordable. It's too complicated. You know, sure, you can imagine how people do biology, and you probably conjure up an image of test tubes and people in white coats and putting red reagents in one tube and blue in another and shaking things around. Well, that's not far from the truth, you know. And that's obviously not something that you're going to use, you know, in a feedlot. It's not something that you're going to use, you know, at a place where you're collecting seeds. It's crazy. But what we've done is we've taken that complicated biology and we've miniaturized it and put it onto these things so that you can do it very cheaply, very inexpensively. And so these incredible breakthroughs in genetics that are really valuable to the agribusiness community are now accessible. So we got started in this field with salmon. In my upbringing in Alaska, I was a commercial fisherman. And we wrestled our livelihood from the ocean. So I have an affinity for this whole agribusiness. You know, when I would explain people, when I came to California, people would say, what's commercial fishing? I'd say, well, you know, it's kind of like farming, you know, but you know, you're really having to deal with nature. You're having to really wrestle your livelihood away from some difficult circumstances. So although I've never farmed, I feel a certain amount of affinity for the challenges that those people face. I feel like I have some sense of what those challenges are like. And it turns out that one of the first applications for this technology was in understanding where the salmon are going to go when they come home to spawn. And if you can test the, you know, population of salmon as they're coming home and predict where they're going to go, then you can make sure that the fishermen are located in just the right spot to catch the most fish, and you protect the places that are going to, you know, not have many fish, so you don't, you know, make sure those rivers are available for another year. And so our technology was first used there in a really kind of breakthrough way to manage fisheries in Alaska and elsewhere, and that's really migrated now into seeds and livestock, and really, you know, back to your earlier question about multiple industries, of course we're deploying our products into really what you would think about as traditional research. But I have to tell you, one of the most rewarding things is to see the use of our technology in other industries, you know, like, you know, the management of wildlife and like, you know, agribusiness, where it's really contributing to people's livelihood. You know, that's particularly in this environment now, to know that your technology is making it easier for somebody to make a living, making it easier for a company that's trying to thrive in that environment to, you know, to both thrive and survive. That's particularly rewarding for us all here.
Well, I really appreciate you guys taking time to talk with us and give us a little bit of background on the company and as one of the founders, especially. Well, I'm looking forward to learning more myself about Fluidigm as we're here today doing these interviews. So from the Fluidigm headquarters here, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.